जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना व्रज जन रंजना, 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 यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना व्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना व्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना व्रज जन रंजना, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Jayam Vishnupad Paramsarjaga Charja Stotra Jata Shri Srimad Shila Abhaicharanand Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Nama Acharya Srila Thakura Haridas Ki Jai Prem Se Koho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Devi ki jai, Yumana Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulasi jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Harinama Sankirtana ki jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Iskan Bibiti Samsthapak Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gau Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashta Praishva Bhadresho Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Krishne Svadhamo Pagate Dhanamagnanadi Pisaha Kalaunashtadrashamesha Puranarko Dhunoditaha. This is Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, entitled The Activities of the Prachetas. Today we're on text number 43, and Maitreya is speaking, so please repeat. Maitreya uvacha iti pracheto virabhishtuto harihi pritastathetyaha sharanya vatsalaha Anichatam yanam atripta chakshusham Yayau sadhaman apavarga virjaha Maitreya uvacha Iti pracheto bhirabhishtuto harihi प्रीतस्तथेत्याह शरण्य वत्सलः अनिच्छताम् यानमतृप्त चक्षुषाम् ययौ स्वधामानपवर्गवीर्यः. श्रीमैत्रेय उवाच इति प्रचेतोभिरभिष्कृतो हरिः प्रीतस्तथेत्याह शरण्य वत्सलः अनिच्छताम् यानमतृप्त चक्षुषाम् ययौ सुधामानपवर्गवीर्यः. Maitreya said, iti, thus, prachetobhihi, by the prachetas, abhishtotaha, being praised, harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pritaha, being pleased, tatha, so, iti, thus, aha, said, sharanya, to the surrendered souls, vatsalaha, affectionate, anichhatam, not desiring, yanam, his departure, atripta, not satisfied, Chakshusham, their eyes. Yayao, he left. Swadhamu, to his own abode. Anapavargavirya, whose prowess is defeated. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the surrendered souls, being thus addressed by the prachetas and worshipped by them, replied, may whatever you have prayed for be fulfilled. After saying this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose prowess is never defeated, left. The prachetas were unwilling to be separated from him because they had not seen him to their full satisfaction. Please repeat. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the surrendered souls, being thus addressed by the prachetas and worshipped by them, replied, may whatever you have prayed for be fulfilled. After saying this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose prowess is never defeated, left. The prachetas were unwilling to be separated from him because they had not seen him to their full satisfaction. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word anapavargavirya is significant in this verse. The word ana means without, means the materialistic way of life, and virya means prowess. The prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead always contains six basic opulences, one of which is renunciation. Although the prachetas desired to see the Lord to their full satisfaction, the Lord left. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, this is an exhibition of his kindness to innumerable other devotees. Although he was being attracted by the Prachetas, he left. This is an example of his renunciation. This renunciation was also exhibited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he stayed with Advaita Prabhu after taking sannyas. All the devotees wanted him to stay a few days longer, but Lord Chaitanya left without hesitation. The conclusion is that although the Supreme Lord has unlimited kindness for his devotees, he is not attached to anyone. He is equally kind to his innumerable devotees all over the creation. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yudhapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Ndhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Maitre Uvacha Iti Pricheto Bhirabhishtuto Harihi Pritasthetyah Sharanya Vatsalah Anichatam Yanam Atripto Chakshusham Yayauswadhamana Pavarga Virjah. Maitreya, the great sage Maitreya continued, My dear Vidura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of surrendered souls, being thus addressed by the Prachetas and worshipped by them, replied, May whatever you have prayed for be fulfilled. After saying this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose prowess is never defeated, left. The Prachetas were unwilling to be separated from him because they had not seen him satisfaction. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here in a few adjectives. He is, first of all, abhishtuta. He has been nicely praised by the Prachetas. Abhishtuta. He's very happy with them. Prita, for that reason. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, has focused on the contribution that we receive from His Divine Grace, Srila Jiva Goswami, in this regard. He says, Tatra tatheti tad anumodanam tad varaschaknyeyaha. First of all, it's to be understood by the words tatheti, that what he asked, tathastu iti, may it be so. Whatever you have prayed for, may you have that benediction. Do we remember what the Prachetas have prayed for? They mainly prayed for association. At least that was clearly the conclusion of their prayers. It's very interesting here because in the beginning of their prayers, they've it seems to me they've emphasized the theme of suffering and how a devotee may have to suffer. We may not be able to get what we want from the Supreme Lord. In this relationship that we're trying to cultivate with the Lord, another thing that they have noted in their prayers itself, the Lord is independent. And they've also, if I'm not mistaken, they've mentioned that the Lord has many other devotees to whom he feels indebted in love. Sridhar Swami says, Atripta chakshusham yana manichhatam swadhama yayau. I'm sorry, he says, Bhakta hridayam viveja. He's not exactly under the control of his devotees, in a sense. The question will arise here, naturally, that these prachetas have executed austerities only to please the Lord for 10,000 years. We have a hard time for 10 days. They allow you, when you go on Brajmandala Parikrama, you can pay in 10-day increments. Just in case the austerity is too much. So the prachetas, they were executing austerities for 10,000 years. And they, in the end, they may or may not have had desires. We don't really know. But in the end, what they asked for was pure. They said, we don't want anything except your darshan, association of your devotees. We remember that after the Lord was pleased with them, what did he offer them? A wife. Kind of a strange turn of events. You wouldn't really think that these sages who had just finished 10,000 years of austerities would be interested in that, but the Lord was interested in that. The Lord was interested. That's an interesting topic in itself, but I don't want to get too far afield. Maybe in the end we can return to that idea. But for the time being, the idea here is that the Lord was certainly conscious of their desires. Sri Sri Gauranithai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Lalita Vishakha Sahitaradha Shama Sundara Ki Jai. The Lord was certainly consciousness of what they had prayed for. Vara, the Jiva Goswami has clarified here. He's conscious of their benediction and he's responding to that. Tathastu. May it be so. That's one thing. Now, the second thing that Srila Prabhupada emphasizes in his own purport here is that, also according to Jiva Goswami, he says, anichhatam api yayau ityatra hetuhu. Swadhameti. By the word swadhama, he's indicating here that although the prachetas did not want the Lord to leave, the Lord set out. What does yana mean? Does anybody know what this word yanam is used? Huh? Vehicle or a path? Departure, in effect. Sridhar Swami glosses it as prayana, swaprayana, his own departure. Just like we hear from Kulashekhar Alawar, prana prayana. Every day, one of us will have the experience that our life air departs. The life air is the last thing to depart. First, your the last of your senses is the hearing. Even when the hearing is gone, even when a person is clinically dead, there are some of the life airs that remain within the body. But eventually, they also have to go. So prana prayana samaye kavavata pittai. When at the time of death my throat may be choked up with this kavavata pittai. In Ayurveda we have these three humors of, Prabhupada translates simply as mucus, bile, and air. It's more complex than that, but that will do for now. So how will I be able to chant your holy name? How will I be able to focus my mind when we get bent out of shape in this material world? Because it's really intended to bend us out of shape. You have to bend it to strengthen iron. That will happen. It's naturally incorporated into material existence that everybody will be affected by it and will be conditioned by it. And that is the significance of the adjective here, anapavargavirya. The Lord is his prowess is conditioned by the same factors that our prowess is conditioned by. Our prowess, whatever little prowess we have for some short period of time only, it's really being granted ultimately by the Supreme Lord, but the agent being our own karma. When the karma runs out, everything that we think is part and parcel of our eternal identity will be taken away from us. Therefore, it is written into material existence that we from time to time have to be frustrated in our own virya, in our own prabhava, because the acharyas have also glossed this word. Vijayadwaj Tirtha says, anapavarga means vikramo avinashta parakramaha, or his ability to do something. It cannot be frustrated at any point. And we're not in that category. In any sphere of life, we are never in that category. Because ultimately the Lord is the supreme enjoyer. So in conditional existence, we are attached to and identified with our karmic situation, and that situation will disintegrate. In just a matter of time, it is going to vaporize. And at that point, our psychology changes. I took care of my elderly mother for about 5 years, just before she left this world. And I watched how her mind and body were decomposing while she was still inhabiting them. And we generally think of old age in terms of physical difficulties because many of us are not there yet. But as we inch towards that dreaded state of old age, we realize that there are many psychological difficulties that are also involved. And unless we have burnt into our microchip, so to speak, unless we have reconfigured our internal mindset, if you will, our psychological default state, our second nature, however you want to put it, the word is used, antahakarana, or samskar, subtle body. Unless we have actually tempered it to the degree that we can deal with that kind of difficulty, and that's only a mental difficulty, what to speak of the physical difficulties, then how in the world are we going to focus at the time of death? I was in the hospital once, not as a patient, as a caregiver, and I saw the condition of my parent. But in addition to seeing that condition, I looked around and saw all the other patients in the hospital in various stages of this psychophysical disintegration that must visit itself upon us in due course of time. Some of them were screaming for help that they may have needed or may not have needed, but in either case it was ignored. And some of them had gone crazy because the mind deteriorated before the body did. And some of them were perfectly sober, but they had no physical capability to do anything, including pass stool or urine. And the kind of challenge that this presents is really not conceivable to someone who has not undergone that sort of suffering. That's why we have the miseries of material existence. If you study Bhagavad Gita, which, how many people, please raise your hand, how many people here read Bhagavad Gita every day? One chapter every day is ideal. If you do this, it will become hardwired. it will be embedded in your subtle body, such that when you need that knowledge, it will come to you. Especially if you know Sanskrit, it's very helpful, because the Sanskrit language is infinitely more than any other. But in chapter 6, those who know Bhagavad Gita, they will recognize, Krishna defines who he considers the best of the yogis. Anybody know the verse I'm talking about? Okay, That's a fair answer, but it's not the one I'm thinking of. Earlier than that, I'll give you a hint. Think empathy. Atmaupam yena sarvatra samam pasyati yorjana sukham va yadi va dukham so yogi paramo mata. My opinion, Krishna says, is that that person is the supreme yogi if he's able to empathize with others by dint of his own experience. So we're meant in this life to learn from our experience. We can only do that if we are dharmic, if we hear from authorities submissively, if we follow what they advise. Otherwise, we don't learn. The Devamrita Swami, my esteemed godbrother and very sharp wit, he was giving a Srimad Bhagavatam lecture in Los Angeles a year or so ago. And he said that many people go through life assuming that we're supposed to learn something in this life. That's generally the assumption. But he said, this is his opinion, actually it's not so. This material energy is not intended to teach you anything. The material energy is actually intended to keep you from learning anything. Just to keep you distracted and bewildered and to stop you from learning anything. It is only when we turn towards the Supreme Lord that we begin to learn anything at all. That is the access. That is the toggle switch that activates our ability. Vidyavadhu jivanam. If we humbly cry out to the personality of Godhead, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, then Tesham Satate Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna says, I will give that person the intelligence. That person can learn something. The other people, they just get frustrated and they get bitter and angry and then they become atheists and offenders and they go down. Chapter 16, actually, Krishna describes, sometimes he gets mad. He throws people into hell sometimes. He doesn't have to be nice if he doesn't want to. So even in devotional service, sometimes Krishna is going to handle us roughly by his embrace. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indirectly warns us. He does not have to do what we want. We are not accustomed to any relationship that is not conditioned by this pavarga principle. In this material world, pavarga, you all know pavarga, material existence. In material existence, our relationships are all tainted by so many hetus, so many motives, in the form of selfish desire, or at least a desire to escape from the results of our foolishness, or even from the Supreme Lord and his representatives. That's called bhukti and mukti, respectively. Those are the two witches that haunt our hearts when we are in conditional existence, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. And as long as they haunt our hearts, we cannot taste the pure bliss of real devotional service. We will be rendering what Haridas Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur have labeled as bhakti abhas. Shadow bhakti, probate bhakti perhaps, when our motive is pure, it's probate bhakti. Once we prove ourselves to be incorrigible reprobates, then it's no longer probate bhakti, then it becomes akrita bhakti, mundane devotion. This is what we find amongst our friends whom we call prakrita sahajiyas. They have not been refined. What is the Hindi word for culture? Sanskriti. And where does that word come from? Sanskrit. To completely refine a thing. Just like the Sanskrit language, the refined language, as opposed to the Prakrit language, the wild, uncivilized, untamed, natural language. So our hearts are like this, our minds are like this, our societies are like this, our relationships are like this. Well, it has to be refined. The Nobel laureate poet T.S. Eliot wrote very eloquently once, from wrong to long the exasperated spirit wanders until he takes shelter of some refining fire. That's how he puts it. Or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhayam dvitiya bhinaveshita syat om ishat apetasya. Those who are ishat apetas, those who are turned away from God, they have to suffer, and they don't learn anything. But if we humbly turn to the Lord, then we can learn something from material existence, if we are blessed by the Lord with proper guidance in the form of a bona fide spiritual master. Now, the Prachetas were so fortunate. They prayed for them. They already had the good association of Lord Shiva, and because of that awakening of pure Vishuddha Buddhi by Lord Shiva's grace, they had the wits about them, even in the potentially bewildering experience of witnessing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me tell you something. In 1976, I first saw Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles. I went to see him at that time because, it was his last visit to the West. And at that time, I had been chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, for some time, and I was somewhat familiar with the teachings and practices of Krishna consciousness. I knew the song Jai Radha Madhava, for example, and so many other things. But his, what do I want to say? His demeanor, his visage, his whole presence was so absolutely shining and powerful that it completely overwhelmed all memory of anything, for me at least. He sat down and started to chant Jai Radha Madhava before he gave the class, and I knew this. I could not find the words because I was so bewildered. So think about the Prachetas. And they saw an eight-armed form. For those of you who are losing sleep about this, why did the Lord have eight arms, including the weapons of Lord Shiva? Someone asked. Srila Prabhupada explains a little bit about this in his purport to verse number 6. I have not had the time to look up the commentaries on that verse, but there may be some explanation there. But at any rate, they saw this unprecedented form, and it was very pleasing, but you can imagine it would be very hard to offer prayers, to collect your thoughts, as it was the case with Dhruva Maharaj, for example. Anyway, so I've lost my train of thought now, but the idea is that when we are unconditioned, when our relationships are pure, when we're cultivating or trying to cultivate, because Prabhupada said pure devotional service means trying to render pure devotional service. You just have to be serious and sincere. Serious and sincere. These are two adjectives that he uses repeatedly in his personal instruction. It's a good idea to read Srila Prabhupada's letters to get a sense of his siddhanta beyond what's written in the books, in a more practical realm. It's very helpful. He often guides his disciples like this. Anyway, if we try to render pure devotional service, then we can be awakened to the possibilities of an unconditioned relationship with anyone, but ultimately with the Supreme Lord. Until that point, our attempts to interact with the Supreme Personality Godhead will either be exploitive or, an attempt to escape, because they're tainted by these two witches that haunt our hearts. Because we have that mode of modus operandi with the Supreme Lord, naturally we have to also see everyone else either as a victim or as an aggressor. Does anyone know what is the etymology of the word Shudra? Shudra. Shankaracharya, I believe it is, he's given this in chapter 2 somewhere, I don't remember the exact reference. Someone who is constantly whining, lamenting, and complaining, that person is a Shudra. And the Brahmana, Brahmajanatiti Brahmana, he's described in chapter 18, na shochati, na kankshati. He doesn't complain, he doesn't hanker. He's peaceful. These things are elaborated in the Uddhava Gita, the 11th canto. It's like the expanded deluxe version of Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, so my point is that even though the Prachetas had rendered such apparently pure devotional service to the Lord, even though the Lord appeared to him, even though they were attached to that darshan that they received by divine grace, even though they had the presence of mind to ask for the right benediction, and even though the Lord offered, he left. He left. They were like the other day in Govardhan, on Sharad Purnima, I was at Govardhan, and I saw one mother cow was walking down the street, and the little calf was struggling behind the mother, trying to reach in between the mother's legs to get some milk, and the mother didn't want the calf there, so she's swatting the calf with her tail, and she won't stop. This is the hunger that we want. Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha, as we hear about the Bhagavad Gita in particular. This Gita is like Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. It's the great milk, and we should be all like Vatsas, those who are hearing it. So it was obviously this was the consciousness of Prachetas, but the Lord is independent. We cannot control him. We cannot fit him into our agenda. He may not even allow us into his agenda. That's another thing. Rupa Goswami, I think it's in his one of his stavas, I don't remember which one, but at the end of it he's praying that, you know, I'm saying all these things, but who am I even to desire these things? Brahma and Narad Muni and Shiva, they cannot hope to attain these things. So who am I? Even I'm glorifying devotional service and trying to bring other people into devotional service, I myself may be withheld. I myself may find myself on the outside of that process. If he wants. Why would he want? That's not ours to know. It's not ours to know. So this is the Achintya Shakti of the Lord. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually echoing the sentiments of Srimati Radharani when he says, Ashlishyava Paravatam Panishkamama Darshanat Maramahatam Maramahatam. What does that mean? Very strong language, isn't it? Yathatha Vampato. Another strong word. Mat prananathas tu seva naparaha. It's actually Srimati Radharani spoke this verse. This verse is cited by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Padyavali. And according to commentators on the verse, it's actually an expression of extreme anguish that is voiced by Srimati Radharani after Krishna has abandoned her, or she feels abandoned. And she's lamenting her state because she says, even though I've given him everything, and there's nothing that I haven't given up for him that he's given me up, and still I cannot take myself away from him. So the Prachetas are giving us some small indication of that consciousness which we should cultivate. We're very fortunate. We can't know how fortunate we are to be here in Vrindavan Dham in this very special month of Kartik, and to be able to chant the holy name of Krishna under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada and his pure representatives, to be able to hear these instructions, to be able to follow these instructions by divine grace. We should beg for that now while we have a chance, because we don't know. A famous Braj poet I like to quote, he says, as long as you are of sound body and mind, you have to use this opportunity before you lose it, because you will. I'll stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Sankirtana Prabhu, here's a microphone for you.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Prabhu. The six qualities given devotional service. One of them is Sri Krishna.
Akarshani.
Akarshani. It attracts Krishna or Krishna. That means, now what you just said is
contradictory.
Yeah, Krishna is never subordinate to anything.
That's correct.
So how do we reconcile?
We don't.
Is that okay?
Let me explain a little bit. As much as can be explained, this phenomenon is called achintya bheda bheda tattva. Get used to it. There's much more coming. In every experience of Krishna consciousness, you are going to run against this brick wall of simultaneous oneness and difference that you cannot reconcile logically. That is what we're dealing with. I mean, how he is subordinate to the devotees. It's also stated, at least it's hinted here by Sridhar Swami, that he's subordinated to his devotees and yet he's completely free and independent. How do you reconcile that? You cannot. This is the mystery of bhakti. We can gain some insight through personal experience. Yaswanu pavam akhila shruti sanam ekam. As we hear back in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This whole Srimad Bhagavatam is really but the narration of the personal experience of Shukdev Goswami. So when we experience what he experienced, then we may have some insights into that question, but I think that even when we do, it's still going to remain ineffable. I'm sorry if that's not satisfying, but that's my answer. Is that okay? Anything else?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class. Proji, as you explained about the Pachetas, after performing austerity for 10,000 years, then God gave them beautiful garden. So similarly, it happened to us when we come in contact with this Iskcon movement. In the beginning, we perform some austerity, dharma and then artha comes. And then dharma artha come. So, but we are stuck in these three things, and after that, we can't go beyond these three things. So those are means as we are remaining in ISKCON movement, so if you are not performing pure devotional service, so what would happen to them and what would be their situation? Means can they go back to God in this very life?
I'm not sure I follow your question. Maybe you can repeat it very simply. If someone renders pure devotional service, then
someone is not rendering pure devotional service, they're remaining in ISKCON. So can you go back to God in this?
Well, no one goes back to Godhead unless he's engaged in pure devotional service. I mean, there is some rare exception to that, but that's like an honorary degree. And Srila Prabhupada has warned us not to bank on that. Don't expect that, because it doesn't really happen. Not much. We have to beg, as I mentioned. We have to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and those who purely represent him. We have to beg from them for the holy name, if we want it. Mostly we don't want it, and in fact we don't even know what we want most of the time. We really don't know. We don't know what our material conditioning is. We don't know what our own desires are. We don't know what our attachments are. We're not even aware. That's why the general paradigm of civilized human life puts a lot of emphasis on, first of all, coming to the mode of goodness, because that at least creates the awareness that you have something to work with. Until that time, we're either distracted or bewildered by passion and ignorance, respectively. So, study the songs of Narottam Das Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. They have put as simply as possible the very essence. In fact, why does Srila Prabhupada ask us every day to sing Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Padma? The only place you're going to find pure devotion is in the lotus feet of your spiritual master. His mercy is going to elevate you and give you Krishna. Make focus like a horse with blinders on his instructions. Don't look anywhere else. Don't think anything else. If you can develop that amount of taste, then all your desires will be fulfilled. These are the ideas. Maybe you can
you say that we are not this body, but most of the time we are not body means I think that we are not this mind, because the whole can you explain on this?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, because Buddhists also believe in reincarnation. Buddhists do not believe in spirit soul. So how do you reconcile that? That's not an achintya vedate. This is something that can be explained. They actually believe that what reincarnates life after life is the mind, the subtle body, the mind, intelligence, and false ego. So yeah, there's truth in that idea that, you know, we have to realize that we're not the mind, because after all, this material body, this gross thing that we're looking at in the mirror every day, it's nothing but prima facie evidence of our mental state maybe 100 years ago or so. Matter comes from spirit, not vice versa. So what the Germans call the things which are spiritual but also metaphysical and intellectual, we have to put our attention there as well. That's part of what it means to become aware. I think so. It's not easy. It's complicated. It's very difficult. This material world, Krishna says, is like a banyan tree. You can't figure out where the branches come from, which ones are leaves, which ones are roots. All you can do, really, as I said, is take this sort of knowledge that should inspire us to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just cry out for help. Okay. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. At some point you mentioned chapter 16 as Krishna becoming mad.
sort of.
Just the other day we were hearing about Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu.
Mm-hmm. How do we reconcile those two? Well, let's first of all review the verses that you're referring to from chapter 16.
It was also in the Bhagavatam just yesterday.
Yeah, he says, Tan aham dvishatah kruran sangsareshu narathamam kshepami ajasram ashubhan asureshu eva yonishu. I throw them down into lower and lower species of life. Those who have made the, what Prahlad Maharaj calls the Grihavrata, the vow to hold on to their attachments. Yesterday, a very merciful godbrother I had lunch with, and he gave very nice instructions about chanting the holy name with attention. If we do not chant the holy name with attention, if we're not trying to increase our attention on the holy name, then our chanting is going to water our anartas instead of our bhakti creeper. Or at least it's going to water both, but anartas being very powerful, just like demoniac people in human society, they generally have the upper hand. And the anartas will choke the bhakti creeper and we will lose it. Or as Romapad Swami said a few years ago in another seminar, he said the nature of bhakti is that bhakti removes anarthas. That is bhakti's characteristic. She removes anarthas. So if we cling to those anarthas, then when the anarthas are removed, we will be removed along with them because we're clinging to them. You see? When a person shows that determination long enough, how long is long? We don't know. But when in Krishna's judgment that person has shown that he's not sincere, then Krishna can throw him, because that's called tough love. Sometimes a person needs that. We are not in a position to make that judgment. Be careful of that. Tulasi is a samsara mein sabse miliya bhai na jaane kis roop mein Narayan mil jaye. You never know who you're going to meet. So the fact that Krishna does this, he says he does it, you can't deny it. It doesn't necessarily cancel out the fact that he's equal to everyone. Because ye yata mam prapadyante tanstateva pajami. He says, as they reciprocate with me, I will reciprocate with them.
So my question was, isn't the portrayal that Krishna becomes mad, isn't that misleading?
Is it misleading? Maybe, yeah, maybe. Take it as a literary, poetic license, perhaps. That I will stand corrected. Okay? I think it's getting, maybe we should stop, unless there's anything else. I don't think so. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.